if we didn't have to let Morgan go soon on this walk, I would replay that again. It is
replay
Friday.
Replay it. Ain't no rush.
Come on. Come on, Tyree. Give it one more time.
So much love to give, I'll survive. I'll survive. I will survive.
Tyreen, I saw your saving skills with that song. I heard it. That was good. Whoa, it's Friday.
This Friday. This was a really...
It was a beautiful week.
It was a beautiful week. It held so much space for all of us in so many beautiful ways, starting with Juneteenth on Monday, and then taking us to today.
Last night I was sitting at dinner. One thing you all should know is, well, first of all, I'm a woman of my word, and I drove up to Aspen, Colorado. It was a gorgeous, gorgeous ride. And I'm up here at high altitude. I crossed over the Continental Divide. I threw a snowball. I came down into the Alpine Forest, and now I'm at the Aspen Institute. And there's a beautiful Black woman who's about to interview me in 15 minutes. So I have to go in about 15, 20 minutes. And Vanessa says, it's okay. We have millions of co-hosts who can come on and talk with me.
Exactly. Star 9, raise your hand. If this has been a good week, if you got a testimony, we're going to bring you in. Yeah.
And the Black woman who's about to interview me, I just sat down and had some... some cucumber water with her, because listen, we live in our best lives, y'all. And she said, my executive assistant, her name is Mia Birdsong. She said, my executive assistant she said she's listened to all seasons of Black History Bootcamp. So I just wanted to give a special shout out to her executive assistant and every executive assistant who makes the world better by coordinating things, including saying happy birthday to my own Siobhan. So Vanessa, so last night I was sitting down at dinner. We are doing big things in the Girl Trek movement, bigger than I ever imagined. People used to always say, Vanessa, did you think you could ever get a million Black women? And I'd be like, yeah, for sure. But this next phase, like, I am surrendering to it. It is so big that I can't even hold it. Like, it's just so big. And this guy who is an architect and going to be helping us with some things, he said, Morgan, I think about you and I worry about you, how you're going to just lead all of this and you're one, just one self and like this and this. And you guys, and he talked about you wearing your cowboy boots and your hat. He was like, you guys are just, he said, you're so powerful, but like, how are you going to hold this? And I just looked at him squarely, Vanessa. I said, I'm not the bucket, I'm the water. And then he goes,
oh my God, yes.
He was just like, okay. And I got down from Ocean yesterday and I felt it in my soul. I didn't feel the panic that he felt, and I wouldn't pick it up. I wouldn't pick up that panic. I was just like, no, you don't understand my source. So I just have really personally appreciated this
exceedingly
week.
Abundantly above all that we could ask. Exceedingly abundantly. Yes. Because with every single woman who starts to walk and starts to believe, it's like you're placing into this special cauldron now your hopes and dreams, and it multiplies and it magnifies. Yeah. And I believe that we are living in a time and space where it's just the energetic pool of whose energy is going to win out. Is it the people who sit in doom and gloom, who get off by watching killer shows and who always got an attitude, who don't find the joy, who ain't stepped outside, who let the illness into their body. Like, we got those people, and that energy dominates. This thing with the submarine was an example of it. I just watched with a keen eye because my third eye is open, and I was like, oh, I see what is happening here on this story and what's going down, and how people were with glee reporting and happy and sort of some sort of way that we all really saw it and hoping but not hoping. And it's crazy. And
I
then there's those of us.
Sorry, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank God you didn't, because that's one of those ways where I probably prayed it away from you and just blocked the energy. So you don't even got to know what's going on. And I don't even need to uplift it here.
Good.
But I just know that there is energy also of women who are just like, I don't even know that submarine story, because I was out in the park every day because me and my kids were frolicking and laughing and drinking green juices. And because I was learning and feeling that there was no threat anymore, because I was inspired by Oshun or whomever. And like what we believe, and when we get more people like leaning towards that, it just tilts like the access or whatever is the thing where the portal gets bigger and more good than bad happens. We have the power to shift that. I know we do.
What I like about what you're saying is that actually on any given day, we can be either of those energies. Like on any given day, we can be light, we can be dark, we can be, and I don't think it's like what I said yesterday. I don't think that, we have to love everyone equally, even if they're going through stuff. But the power of a new sunrise every day, the power of you orienting toward what brings you, you know, people say, follow your bliss. We say, surf your satisfaction, like to really just plant your feet on what satisfies your soul. I believe too with you that that will change the tide, that it will change the tide even for those, you know, we got people in our lives who really are struggling. And part of the fear of getting, that was such a good episode when we were talking about Toni K. How do you say her name? Bambara?
Toni K. Bambara, yeah.
Yeah, that it's scary to be frolicking out when the rest of the world is glued to the TV. It's scary to be happy
Your
family is sad. And so, like, I just encourage us to also cultivate compassion for the doom.
Yeah.
Compassion for the dark.
That's right. And become spiritual warriors. It's why you have to have all the things in the world that like keep you being that pliable water that you are. Because it's like otherwise, you just have to be, you know, fastidious. I don't know why that word came to my head, but you have to be fastidious about taking care of yourself. And you really do.
What's her name? One of our great lanterns, our great mentor, Sonia Sanchez, said that we have to teach our daughters the art of sedition. And I was like, maybe that language is too strong. But no,
it's
like,
perfect.
You got to find a way out of no way by whatever means necessary to grab onto joy and justice in this world. And like that to me feels so powerful. It feels so powerful, Vanessa. I just have been personally touched by this week and all of the women that we studied. Bessie Stringfield, just listen. She makes me want to constantly keep some women
looking fine on that motorcycle. Okay.
She so was. So anyway.
I'm sitting next to I got to tell you one thing before you leave. One, I'm just sitting. I only realized this. I stopped on some person's random porch, so God protect me while I take a rest. And there's the most beautiful purple flower, which just reminds me of like purple, color purple and our friendship. Then before you go, I just want
to
make sure you hear this.
So helpful to meet me.
That is just confirmation, which is it's Siobhan's birthday, but it's also the birthday of Miss Wilma Rudolph, who we are going to talk about today. And yes, it is her birthday. So happy birthday, Wilma Rudolph. And the story is so important. The pleasure principle is chase the care you need. Chase the care you need. And I'll talk just a little bit about it, y'all. And then really, Morgan has to get on that stage and talk her talk and walk her walk and do her thing as the CEO of Girl Trek. So while she's doing that, I'm just going to open up the lines and we can have a little bit of walk and talk conversations. I was so moved today. Oh man, I read through almost every testimony that came through from the Welcome Walks. I just scoured the internet. I looked at every Facebook post. I went to the Mobilize link and read the feedback, and you all are so joyous. And there were so many women, Morgan, who in their feedback were just saying like how much this boot camp has meant to them and just how much this walking has meant to them. And they were just quoting like so many of the lessons. And so I just want to uplift all of them and the women and just say that there was one particular woman who left a piece of feedback and she was like, yeah, we didn't even meet in person. My welcome walk was virtual. And she was like, and one of the women didn't even walk because she needed to rest. So she just talked. And she was like, but it was so beautiful. Yes.
Social cohesion in ways that heal us, in ways that are appropriate and differentiated. And
that's
like,
right.
We don't have to ask permission. So this is your movement. You do it at your pace. And if you're the leader of the pack, go ahead and run and do the marathon and do your thing. Because was Wilma Rudolph a tennis player or a track star?
No. So she's a runner. She's a track star. Actually, she was the first runner. She predates Jackie Joyner-Kersee, Flo-Jo. She was the first superstar ever in Black women's track and field. And in fact, she is the woman credited with making track and field the sport it was today. She was the first American woman to win 3 gold medals at the 1960 Olympics. It was the first Olympics where really they had widespread television. And so after that, that was already her second Olympics. She actually, like Michael Jordan, retired at the height of her career. Everybody said she could have dominated the next year's Olympics. And she said, yeah, I could dominate the next year Olympics. That's why I'm retiring. Because if I already know what I can do, then life is calling me to something different. And yes, and then this is all made more powerful because this woman, and this is why I called it Chase the Care You Need, was born first of all at 4.5 pounds.
Whoa.
And she was the 20th of 22 children. And yet her mother in like Clarksburg, Tennessee, she was inflicted with polio. She had to wear a brace till she was 12. She had influenza. She was what they called a crippled child her whole life. And yet her mother was like, no, I'm going to chase the care my daughter needs. And her mother would travel 50 miles 2 times a week to Meharry Medical College, which, by the way, up until 1970, 68% of all Black doctors in America came from Meharry Medical College in Tennessee. And she
Why don't we know this name? Meharry?
Meharry, yes. Yeah, I knew because I dated this fine guy from Meharry. But Meharry is like the Morehouse of medical. I could have been a doctor's wife, y'all, but his parents was like, not you, ma'am, not you.
Yeah, going back to the Beverly Davis. It's hilarious.
Meharry Medical College. We'll do a whole, there's so many institutions. We could do a whole series on that. That was really one of my takeaways. Her mother would travel twice a week, 50 miles to take her there to get care. But then even bigger than that, she learned that massage was one of the ways that people were treating polio. So the family would rotate and every 2 hours, some family member would massage her. And this treatment went on for like 2 years. And her mother like literally advocated, homeschooled her. This is in like the early 1950s, homeschooled her so that she could get the treatments that she needed to get so that she could recover. By the time she was 15,
chase the care you need.
By the time she was 15 years old, yes, and drop off anytime you need to, Morgan. Yes, y'all.
Yeah,
I'm making
the
story.
I don't need to drop off until 20.
Perfect.
In another minute. Keep going. I want to hear the rest.
Okay, good. Yeah, so by the time she was 15 years old, she was actually running track and field at near Tennessee State University and near Tuskegee. She was like sweeping all of the medals. This famous track coach got hold of her and started training her. And then she went to high school. And then this is a very important part of the story. She got accepted to Tennessee State University, got pregnant in high school, still had her baby and showed up on the first day of school at Tennessee State. Work study, y'all, to put herself through school because she didn't have a track scholarship. But then still dominated so much on the track and field at Tennessee State that they sent her to Seattle to qualify for the 1956 Olympics. She was the youngest on the team at 16 years old, traveled to the Olympics there. I think it was like in Switzerland, got a bronze medal. Once she said she saw the bronze and understood there was gold because she was like, she didn't really get it up until then. Came back in the next Olympics and just swept. Just dominated. She dominated.
She never met Alice Coachman.
I wondered
that
they
like a
they
generation
had to.
Apart.
But I'm sure they crossed over.
Yeah.
I don't know. Your hair is so cute, by the way. I was trying to tell you earlier, but down on this girl, the male woman's hair is so cute. And then, but I have to give this part of the story in before you leave, because she basically came home to the greatest fanfare you could imagine. Her welcome home parade was the first integrated gathering in Tennessee. She then became a civil rights activist, helped to desegregate the lunch counter. She was, there's been more than 20 books written about her life. She became a Goodwill ambassador. She traveled all over West Africa, bringing sports there. She was a teacher, a second grade teacher, y'all. She was a vice president at a health hospital. Like all that, but not a yay. Because at 56 years old, in July, she found out that she had brain cancer and throat cancer, and by November, she was dead. And this story seems like it's tragic, but it's why I also called it Chase the Care You Need. Because I'm not speculating in fact, but I'm speculating in knowledge that as her life got older, all of a sudden she went from people who were caring and advocating for her to she had all these positions, she had all these jobs, she was responsible for all these things. And I wondered who was caring and advocating for her. I wondered that, Morgan, because Black women die higher from cancers in this country because we're getting diagnosed later. And I even started the conversation with I Will Survive because my very good friend, Seattle legend, Sharla Murphy, everybody knows Sharla, is fighting right now for her life with colon cancer. She class of 95, and she said it's her platform to tell people that they've changed the guidelines and that now we need to start getting our colon cancer screenings at 40 and not 45. And she was like, I need my peoples to know this. And so I want to use
this
time to do that for her. Yes.
Yeah,
and my doctor gave me my order in March, and I just haven't taken it to the thing, but I'm just like, we can't do that, y'all. The screenings, we can't be afraid of them. And it's across every cancer where it's actually late diagnosis that is a significant part of the high death rates for Black women. And we just can't have this. We have to, if we walk away from the, I was like, practically speaking, if we don't do nothing else on this call but go on mute so that we could click over and call our doctor if we need to follow up, if we need to go to the pharmacy. I put it as the alchemy assignment for the email. Before
this time. How do you
get
a cancer screening though? How do you get it? Who do you call?
You go to your primary care doctor and you ask for a full panel of blood tests, and then that will show if you have any markers. And then at that primary care appointment, you ask for an order to see for a colonoscopy, and you tell them that the guidelines have been changed from 45 to 40 because they don't give you the colonoscopy right there. They give you an order, and then you take the order to the colonoscopy people to get the colonoscopy. So it really starts with having
a primary care doctor.
For
breast screening, for all kinds of gynecological screenings. Okay. Well, I listen, just like people were there massaging Wilma Rudolph's legs, let us be the people who care for all of the people listening and massage you into health by saying,
that's right.
Vanessa, me and you too, let's go to our primary care before the end of July. And get just before in the next
I was
month.
There yesterday, y'all. He was like, what you here for? I was like, well, I told him straight up. I said, I felt kind of rushed at the last appointment and I didn't feel like I had really understood everything. I just, because that was the truth. I just kind of left out of there in a whirlwind and he sent me off to the specialist, but I still had questions. And he was like, okay, I'm glad you came back. Like,
listen, you better chase your care. I'm about to chase your care, y'all. I haven't been to the doctor in 5 years. I'm not afraid to say it because I've been living in Ghana.
Yeah.
I've gotten blood work taken and everything looks pretty normal. And I sent it to my medical friends and they were like, yeah, it's good. But I need to
your
go
medical
to the
friends, Mr. Dick, Dr. Dixon.
Why are you trying to call people out?
That's fine, because I love Dr. Dixon. I need to get up.
I tried to break up with the cowboy. I tried to tell Dr. Dixon I was coming to park my car there. He didn't respond because he was his new girl. He didn't respond. So then I think
we've been talking about boundaries in these conversations.
No.
If I'm the new girl, I'm like, she can't got no world.
No,
family is family.
And we got to be fancy. He didn't get the messages because God blocked him. And we were laughing so hard yesterday. He was like, I didn't get the messages. I was like, Yeah, because God blocked them. They was green. They wasn't blue. So I think he didn't get them. So, but anyway. Well, Dr. Dixon got on my nerves. But anyway. All right. Well, Vanessa, I'm going to thank you for okay. that story. I didn't know anything yeah. about Wilma Rudolph. I'm so sad she passed away so early.
Me too.
I can't wait.
She was only born in 1940, which means she could have been alive right now, like breaking down, giving us wisdom, getting loved on. Yeah. So it's so important we tell these stories. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to ask Carol Jean about Wilma Rudolph. Maybe it was like her hero.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask my mommy.
Maybe she knows her. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I can't wait to listen back to the call-ins, Vanessa. And thank you so much. And I'll do my best to represent us on this panel. Talk to you all later.
All righty. Bye. Good luck, Morgan. Bye. You don't need it. God got you. What do Black people say, right? God see you now. All right, y'all. Oh, it's Friday. Look, we're going to just take a few callers and end this week on some praise reports, on some testimonies. If you just want to come on and say something and just step into Morgan's shoes. Star 9, Tyreen, do we got people on? You got to be off mute too, you know, you can't be in there in the background now.
Yes, we have a few hands raised and one person is coming on now.
Hi.
That's a cute girl. Hi, what's your name? Where are you calling from? Where are you walking at?
Well, this is Latoya in Gaslamp, North Carolina.
And hi, Latoya.
Hey, how you doing? And just wanted to say I've had a colonoscopy before and there is nothing to be concerned about. The worst part is the preparation the night before because you're going to be on the toilet a lot, but they put you to sleep. There's no pain. There's no discomfort. When you wake up, you don't even know. Your body has no memory in that area of nothing. So if you're putting it off because you're afraid, experience here, there's nothing. Nothing to be concerned about. Just make those appointments.
Thank you for that. Yeah.
And just try to get your annuals, you know, the same way we make appointments for our hair and nails every few months. You can make an appointment every year for your health. So
that's
just want to reiterate and give women some encouragement. Nothing to be afraid about. It's your body. It's your life. And no one's going to care about it more than you.
Amen. Thank you for that word, sister.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Yeah,
we have another person coming in now.
Okay. Shout out to Tyreen, by the way, who also helps me manage my calendar. Tyreen, we like you. Got to put some time before and after the appointment. That's a trick, busy ladies. You can't just be putting the appointment on your calendar and then it's like you on the Zoom back to back. Then you get stressed out and you just be like, forget it. I ain't going to that appointment. I need 30 minutes before the appointment blocked off my calendar, and I need 30 minutes after the appointment blocked off on my calendar for travel time and decompression time and transition time. So that's one of my tips. Who we got on the line? Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Hi.
Hey, can you hear me?
I sure can. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Yo. I'm calling from West Sacramento, California. I feel kind of
What's
bad
that
because I'm one of the...
Where are you at? Are you outside?
I am walking. Yes, out. It's
okay,
really
I like that.
Today.
It's okay,
really
we don't mind.
Today.
We like the element. I hear it. It's clapping. It's something clapping.
Yeah,
but it's okay.
It's,
we can still
it's
hear
nice,
you.
Though. It's really beautiful.
Okay, good.
But I'm one of those people who put it off and put it off. So I'm going to make my appointment on Monday. But I really
Thank
wanted to call so because yesterday's call was so in line with my own life and getting into the Orishas and finding myself. It's wonderful to hear other people in the same area still, you know, that the energy is everywhere. So
yes.
Thank you guys for this one. It's been so much more personal than the others.
It has been, right?
It has been a lot more personal, and, you know, but I've been loving it, and I just wanted to thank you guys for sharing.
Well, I want to thank you for walking with us for all of the other seasons. It means a lot, and I want to thank you for noticing that it's more personal because that was by design, and Morgan and I had a conversation around what we thought we personally needed at this season in our lives, and it felt so inauthentic to try to show up in some other way
when we are both really navigating real stuff that we thought women could learn from and trying to figure out stuff. But it definitely required like a leap of faith and some just like trust, you know, of our community. But it's just been a beautiful experience. And having women especially bring their voices into the conversations is one of my favorite parts. So I'm hoping y'all that we keep inviting our friends to join us live on these calls when we do record them at noon. And then the good news is once we wrap this series, it'll be now available for every woman we know. So we need to be on some like Amway, Mary Kay sales job stuff, where we are like, have you heard of this 21-day pleasure principles? Or something like that, and get it into the hands of every Black woman we know. So thank you for calling in from Windy, California. Let the wind refresh you, sister, as you walk.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye. It's been very rainy in DC, y'all, and I'm loving it. I have loved this summer drizzle.
Hey, Vanessa, this is Christine from Denver, North Carolina. How are you today?
Hi, Christine from Denver, North Carolina.
So I just wanted to say three things. One, you and Morgan are fabulous. On any day you don't feel like you're fabulous, know that there's a million women who think you are fabulous. And we really, really appreciate what you do for us, not only because you care about us, but by example of what you do for yourself. Secondly, I've been on all the boot camps, and I agree with a previous caller. This one is fabulous. It's personal, it's touching, and it's what we need in this moment. And then third, when we talk about chasing the care we need, I agree. It's about time and taking the time to take care of ourselves, but it's also about finding the right person for us. Because, you know, what you said your doctor said to you, that he's glad you came back, that's what every doctor should be saying to us. And if they don't say it to us, we need to find another doctor. Because, you know, it's hard to navigate. It's a complicated setup in this country, and it's hard to navigate. And so we need people who are on our side, who aren't making us feel embarrassed or ignorant if we ask questions, and, you know, are really there for us. And that's probably one of the most important relationships we have. So I encourage every woman on this call, that if your doctor isn't somebody you think highly of, find another doctor. We really need to do that. So again, keep doing what you're doing. We're here for you. You know, you have a community that is awesome. And, you know, this series is creating a level of energy and vibration that I agree with you 100%. It's going to tilt things. And it's going to tilt things the way we need them to be tilted. So I am so optimistic. This is such a wonderful movement for the health of our community, for our sisters, and knowing our history and living our history is just a fabulous, fabulous gift you are giving to us all. So thank you.
Wow. I touch and agree and express deep gratitude. I'm holding and cupping my face for some reason, which reminds me of our friend of the community, Janie Abraham, who does rhythm therapy and has taught us all a way of giving ourselves loving kindness by cupping our face. So I feel the love of what you just said, sister. Thank you so much. And practically speaking, I just want to even clarify, the guy who I'm seeing is actually the physician's assistant at my doctor's office. But what I realized is that he had all the same knowledge and also a little bit more time and attention to pay to me. And I should have seen him earlier than I had, but I had all sorts of preconceived notions about what a physician's assistant was, and it was just because of my own ignorance. So us even getting educated and really understanding the different roles in the medical field and who we can access to help us better navigate is also a part of how we can chase our care. So, Irene, if we have them, we'll take one or two more. Otherwise, y'all, shoot, we did get 30 minutes in today.
We have a few.
Okay. All right. Let's bring a few in.
Okay. Somebody's coming in now.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi. My name is Natasha. I live in D.C., but I'm currently in North Carolina, Vanessa, and I'm in Durham.
North Carolina is holding it down. You were?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, I'm actually here to support my mother who has cancer. She has 7 siblings, and out of her 7 siblings, 6 of them have cancer. So one of the things that I would like to say is know your family history if you can, and get the screening for all the things that are in your family. I got a genetic blood test for cancer, even though it was a little scary. I am getting an EKG because congestive heart failure runs in my family. And the other thing I would like to say is if your doctor does not really pay attention to something you said you're concerned about, go find the specialist who will. I noticed changes in my nails that made me think I might have psoriatic arthritis. And my doctor said, for some reason, everybody thinks they have it. And I thought, okay, I have the top insurance plan on purpose. And I went and found a rheumatologist who told me that I did, and is helping me prevent getting any serious symptoms. So I would like to encourage everybody just to know your family history and get the screenings that will help you prevent the things that have been a problem for your family for generations. And I would also just like to encourage everybody to prioritize your health care over the health care of even the other people in your family. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Even if your doctor might not know the answers, there is some specialist somewhere who does. And I think that's all I got for today, but I really wanted to share that because it makes a difference. A lot of the things that we carry, including cancer, are things that are genetic and that we need to pay attention to. And the last thing I will say is get the best healthcare plan that you can afford. I have been a medical billing specialist and learned about all the insurances that don't pay for important care, and that means people die. So whenever I have been able to, I've always had an HMO that is the top HMO available because it means that I can advocate for my own health. I'm able to go see a specialist without a referral. So I would also just encourage you to get the best healthcare plan you can afford. And Vanessa and Morgan, thank you so much for Black History Boot Camp. I have gotten some of the best ideas I've ever had while walking and listening to boot camp and your conversations. And it has made a whole difference in my life. So thank you so much.
Oh, man, Natasha, you said so many things. And I know for a fact, some woman just from what you said is going to get an important screening that could really save her life. I have a question about your just sending love to you as you're a caregiver to your mother. And I wonder if you mind answering, do all the siblings also live in the same area? Because I'm just wondering, even like genetics, yes, and then also environmental, and especially as Black people, I feel like we're just learning about this and really our communities of the environmental racism that has been going on. And I just wonder if like they also all lived in the same area.
So they don't now. They did grow up together in the same areas. So it is possible that it was environmental. In one of the places they grew up, Darlington, South Carolina, there were several plants not far from them where the groundwater could have been impacted. And some of my father's siblings, my father grew up around the corner, also have cancer. I have lots of questions, though, because there's another branch in my family where 4 out of 5 siblings have cancer that didn't grow up in the same place. But environmental justice is a thing, and environmental issues could have been a factor. Especially because they grew up in the 40s, 50s, and 60s when nobody cared what was, they still don't care, but when they really didn't care what was done.
Yeah. Well, we care. So that's the best thing, actually, is that we used to, you know, there used to be this concept of like, well, nobody cares, and so we're powerless. But actually, I lead the narrative change work at Girl Trek, and I'm actually saying it's my job for us to actually do nothing else, if anything, but to walk away understanding that our caring is the mobilization energy and people power that we need to change things. And so the systems haven't been designed to support us, that's for sure. And the systems are still working against us. And the people in power, most of them have shown that they do not care or care about the dollar or something else, but we care. And the more care that we have for ourselves, then the more that we can address it. And it starts with you even just sharing your testimony and story here. So I really appreciate you, Natasha. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
All right. All right, Tyreen, one last woman. Come on in.
All right.
I wonder if one day we're going to have a man who calls it, who's like, I've been on this call the whole time. I can't even believe y'all talking about us like this. So, okay. I know they're out there. So we don't discriminate. Okay.
We got one more coming in.
Hello?
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is Michelle. Hi. This is Michelle in Union City, California. So another California. Hi, Sacramento. I'm calling.
California,
first of all,
come through. This is very important that the West Coast represent, because Morgan, one, growing up in Sacramento, she takes it personally when the state don't show up. And then two, we met in LA, so we both have like an affinity for the fact that like we need Girl Trek to work for women in California, because it just speaks to the fact that we're really a universal movement. So hey to all our California
and we're up
out
early.
There. And you're up early, that's right.
So one of the things that I wanted to say is, first of all, one of the things that I do, and sometimes it pushes some of the doctors away, but I bring a notebook and I have all, and I write down my questions. And if that doctor is feeling that they don't like this or something like that, then you're not the doctor for me. And I do say, when I'm meeting new doctors, I ask a lot of questions and I bring in my notebook. So if this is an issue, please let me know, because I need to move on. Find someone else.
That's right. Yes.
So I bring my little notebook, or I bring a book that one of my friends gave me for Black women, and I highlight things in it, and then I ask questions. So that's one of them. Number two, I need to say thank you to you guys. I really appreciate it. One of the things, I was hospitalized last year in July, and you had the boot camp. I was disappointed. I was so disappointed because I couldn't do the challenges. However, they came in and said, are you able to walk? And I got myself out of that bed and said, yes, I can walk. So I would get up and I would walk around that hospital floor several times a day to put in my walk time and everything. So if you can get up and make those steps, don't let them keep you in that bed, because things start to, your legs and other things start to break down. So you need to get up there and move. So once they told me I can get up and walk, I got up and walked. And for this last
I'm happy you're up and walking now. And walking.
Oh yeah, I'm walking out. I'm walking right now outside. The other thing is, for June 19th, I had my shirt on and everything, and I saw my mother, and I said, what are you doing? I said, getting ready to go my walk. Okay. And then I looked at her and I said, would you like to walk tomorrow with me? My mother just turned 97 years old. And she said, yeah, she just turned 97 years old. And she said, well, I can give it a try. So I have pictures, but I haven't loaded it yet. I'm just learning how to do the Instagram thing. And so she got up and with her walker, and we went, and she said, my legs are a little wobbly today. And I said, well, walk as far as you think. And then I said, are you okay? She says, let's walk a little further. And she actually worked a little further with me for the Juneteenth. And I put my coat on her for the for Girl Trunk and everything like that. So she had the blue jacket on and everything. And
oh, my God. I would die for some pictures of this one. And then also, your mom needs her own shirt and jacket, not yours. So please email me and send your information so we could send her something. That's such an adorable story.
Yeah, she was, you know, I just said, Mom, smile. Come on, give us a smile. And then, you know, then she said, I think it's time to turn around. I'm starting to feel very, you know, my legs are starting to wiggle. I said, okay, let's turn. But she did walk at 97. And she advocates very much for herself at the doctors, and she will let them know that, no, I need this, this, and this. So she is very strong and advocating for her health, which is unbelievable. And I will sit there and say, but Mom, no. I'm like, okay. And so she is still very strong. And that's another thing I think we need to teach ourselves, is to advocate for ourselves. Whether we feel it's going to support us or not, we need to know first if this is whatever we're feeling is healthy for us or not, what's going on in our system. Because we know what's going
on in our system. Something is not feeling right. We need to ask that question. And she'll turn around at 97 and she'll say, this is what I feel in my body. What is wrong? I need a test. So I'd like to just thank you guys, and we're walking.
Thank you for that story. It's a perfect way to end today's conversation on Wilma Rudolph's birthday in honor of her, that we just activate to chase our own care. Everyone, as a reminder, we take the weekend off on Black History Bootcamp, so it's the perfect time for you to catch up on episodes you may have missed or to share it with a friend or family member. And then we will be back for the final week in this series live on Monday at noon Eastern Time. And I'm pretty sure if you're listening with us live, you're going to get to hear some Mary J. to close us out. Happy Friday, everyone.